morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, May Day, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Cruise ships are heading north instead of south, and with climate change and summer waiting in the wings, nobody's going to notice the difference.
Tribal leaders are in Omaha to protest Berkshire Hathaway Pacific Corps' Klamath River dams. That's commitment.
And Justice David Souter is planning to retire after nearly 20 years on the Supreme Court.
Portland area weather, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the south, highs in the 60s. And if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. The weekend looks rainy with temperatures in the 50s and 60s.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Today, of course, is May Day 2009. And across the nation, around the world, and right here in Portland, the city that works, people are taking to the streets to recognize and celebrate May Day. Workers, pagans, one and all, are facing a future full of strange and dangerous days. But now today is the time to get involved. With me this morning to tell listeners how to do that is Corinne Theodoro with the May Day Coalition. Good morning, Corinne. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, and happy May Day.
Thank you so much, and, of course, all the best to everyone out there. Can you talk a little bit about some of the events that are taking place here in Portland today?
Well, as part of the May Day Coalition, we've organized a really amazing day. We have down in the South Park blocks, at 1 o'clock is our kickoff with a banner party and dance music. We're going to have folk musicians. We have hip-hop dancers, traditional Aztec dance, as well as spoken word. All of these people are out just to in solidarity to hype each other up for 4 o'clock when the rally really starts. We have really amazing speakers who are going to be talking about immigrant rights, African-American community rights, economic crisis issues, of course. And then at 5 o'clock is when we begin the march, and we'll be hitting the Federal Building, Key Bank, a lot of key points around the downtown with everyone, and we are expecting a massive amount of people today.
So it's really, the theme really is, as always, social justice and celebrating non-hierarchical systems that are more humane and human than the top-down capitalism that we've been burdened with for such a long time. Can you just add briefly your sense of how many people are expected to turn out today?
I'm thinking hundreds of thousands. I mean, you've got so many organizations, you've got individuals, and you have workers alone. You have immigrants that are coming out from every quadrant of Portland. I mean, and this is the history of May Day in this town is immense. And it's powerful. And I'm not going to doubt at all that we're going to see huge numbers, huge numbers. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to that know someone that's going or know a community or part of the community that's planning on attending.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Corinne Theodoro with the May Day Coalition. Thanks, Corinne.
Thank you so much.
A federal appeals court has wiped away with one opinion some 300 decisions made last year by the Bush administration's Labor Relations Board. The U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington said today that all the decisions handed down in 2008 by the National Labor Relations Board are invalid because they were made by just two members. The board had three vacancies because Democrats who controlled Congress objected to President Bush's labor policies and refused to confirm his nominees.
Imagine this. You're expecting Puerto Vallarta, and you get Astoria. We could rename it Puerto Astoria. Passengers on a huge cruise ship once bound for Mexico will instead visit Astoria next month. That amounts to an influx of 3,000-plus visitors to the state's slated LNG nexus. Because of the swine flu, cruise ships on the West Coast are reconfiguring their schedules. Instead of visiting the Mexican Riviera, the ships are now planning calls to other ports such as Astoria, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. The irony is that California and Mexico have said no to LNG on their shores. The bottom line, see Astoria now before it's reduced to a pile of ashes.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood approved $75 million in federal money yesterday to expand Portland's streetcar system. The decision was expected as President Obama has spoken favorably of improving and expanding mass transit. But supporters of the Portland expansion, as well as transit advocates nationally, said that making the announcement so early in the new administration and allowing the Portland project to leap over other projects sends an unmistakable message of federal support for transit.
And Portland, too, for that matter. If you've got lemons, make lemonade. Portland area Chrysler dealers are cheering the automaker's bankruptcy. They say it'll help business and their customers. Dealers welcome new corporate leadership, government-backed warranties, and, of course, the chance to sell Fiat. And Chrysler teams with the Italian automaker.
The Commerce Department has released $53 million to Oregon and California to help West Coast salmon fishermen after the third fishery failure in 4 years. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke made the announcement yesterday in a letter to the governors of the two states. Locke said continued low returns to the Sacramento River have led to the latest disaster, but the solution is simple. Preserve habitat.
That's all it would take. Well, we make it down to Salem for a protest. We always feel good and pat ourselves on the back. Good try and all that. But a group representing American Indian tribes and commercial fishermen from California and Oregon is protesting at Berkshire Hathaway meetings in Omaha this year. They've done it many years in the past, and they're back again in 2009. Berkshire Hathaway is, of course, just another name for Pacifico, which is another name for salmon habitat destruction, which is another name for dams on the Klamath River.
A Eugene extermination company has been fined $4,550 for illegally applying pesticides at the home of a Florence woman who died from cardiac arrest. Swanson's Pest Management fumigated an elderly couple's home in June 2005. After returning a few hours later, 76-year-old Florence Kolbeck died, and her husband was hospitalized with breathing problems. Emergency responders also became ill, which begs the question, why do we even allow such deadly chemicals to be manufactured?
Why even put these things on the market? Well, in Anchorage, Alaska, Trident Seafoods has agreed to pay over $112,000 for failing to properly report hazardous chemicals. In particular, the Seattle-based company failed to file forms with emergency local responders. You got to wonder about a food company that needs to file paperwork with emergency responders before they can sell their food products.
The Decembrists said it, and we believe it. Portland is a big biking town. Yesterday, Portland Mayor Sam Adams made it a little bigger, promising to remove one of three automobile lanes on Southwest Broadway for a dedicated cycle track near Portland State.
And in Eugene, Mayor Kitty Piercy has set websites buzzing with her decision to attend the Global Marijuana March rally tomorrow. Piercy will issue a formal declaration marking April 30th through May 6th as Medical Marijuana Awareness Week. But the mayor says that her appearance at the rally is hardly an endorsement for legalizing marijuana, only representing her support for its legal use as part of medical treatment.
PSU President Vin Weevil will celebrate his inauguration this week with a conference on creating a sustainable regional economy. For starters, he rode a bicycle to work on his first day as president of Portland State. The two-day conference, Building University Community Partnerships for a Sustainable Regional Economy, began yesterday and runs through today. The idea is to bring together business leaders, elected officials, and academics.
And a congressional committee moved forward a bill that would provide more protection to wild horses and burros that roam on public land. The animals, which used to be rounded up for sale and slaughter, are already shielded by a 1971 law. But an increase in horse populations and ongoing budget cuts have hampered efforts by the BLM to adopt out healthy Mustangs in order to keep their numbers down out on the range. Among other things, this bill would prohibit the killing of healthy horses or burros as a means of decreasing their numbers.
The Oregon Cattlemen's Association is working to persuade lawmakers to change the current wolf management plan and allow them to kill or capture wolves that harass or attack their sheep. Kurt Jacobs, a cattleman who operates a ranch outside Baker City, told legislative committee yesterday about how wolves killed 24 of his lambs and injured three others. The association brought pictures of the attacks to further their point. One showed a lamb split in two, a scene that's played out in gory detail every day at high-end restaurants and upscale homes all across the country.
Right, yeah, what's the problem with that? And now we go to national news. All we're really going to have time for today, and it's going to be more than enough, I assure you, is D.C. Dirt with KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond. Justice David Souter is retiring, and this changes the whole game. President Barack Obama's choice, whoever it is, for his replacement will assuredly draw Republican ire. This is going to be, I predict anyway, a knockdown, drag-out battle. And good morning, Spencer.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Yeah, you're right. You know, and the battle could begin as soon as this summer. It's yet to be seen exactly when David Souter will make it official that he's actually stepping down. That needs to happen first before Obama can name a replacement. The White House apparently knew about this for about a month, and there was speculation for a while that there was going to be some jockeying, some people retiring off the bench, but they were unsure when until Obama got elected. Souter, as we well know, is one of the more moderate to liberal-leaning judges. With an Obama appointment, it doesn't look like the makeup or the ideology of the Supreme Court will change very much with a new justice.
Spencer, we have very little time today because, of course, we're into our membership drive. So if you can, can you wrap up briefly with some ideas on where the Supreme Court goes from here?
Well, they're going to be one down, and it's the end of the session now. The next session starts in October, so we have all the rest of the spring and summer for a new justice to come. Depending on how big of a battle the Republicans make, the Supreme Court could be down to only 8 by the time they get back in session in October. But it really all comes down to when Obama appoints a new one. A lot of people think it could very well be a woman.
Thank you so much for that, Spencer. Of course, that was KBOO Spencer Raymond joining us as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt.